With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. My name is Ben Hughes and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at all those FA Cup third qualifying round matches from this past week. And we'll be looking ahead with Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio at all the crucial NPL Premier Division matches this coming weekend. We'll also be hearing from the league's charity partner, Sports Trader, about this weekend's collection for non-league day. And we'll be hearing from the management at Altrincham, Stafford Rangers, Grantham Town and South Shields. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm a very hoarse Ben here in Manchester and over there somewhere in the hills. We're joined by somebody who probably wasn't shouting on Tuesday night at an FA Cup replay. It's James Hayes. Hello James, how are you?
Evening Ben, how are you doing?
I'm all good, I'm all good. So the FA Cup is in full swing and we'll get to all the third qualifying round results from this past week in a second or two. But just to let you know what else is coming up on this week's show, later on we've got Andrew Snaith coming on to preview this weekend's matches in the EvoStick NPL Premier Division, and we're also going to be hearing from the management at Grantham and Altrincham. Plus as well, it's non-league day this weekend, so we'll also be hearing from Sports Trader to hear about all the exciting things going on this weekend on non-league day. But the FA Cup and the third qualifying round has just taken place this past weekend and the replays on Tuesday evening. And, some cracking results, James. Shall we start with the biggie?
Yeah, we may as well.
Yeah, South Shields against York City. Superb stuff. We'll hear from the post-match thoughts from Lee Picton in a second. South Shields 3, York City 2. Saw at the end of this, Gary Mills from York City left his post. 2,806 there at Mariners Park. What's your views, James? Superb.
After what everyone was saying last week, saying that the South Shields convincingly beat him, York won't turn up. There was one little voice in the background, listening back to the show yesterday, just to make sure all my facts were correct, that South Shields would steal it. And what a way to steal it. 92nd minute winner. What a way to get through there. And again, another giant killing in South Shields, just to show what capability they've got for this season.
Well, let's hear now the post-match thoughts of one of the joint managers, Lee Picton. Here he is speaking with Mariners TV after the match.
Willie, what an incredible day. Can you sum up your emotions at the moment?
I'm just really proud and really satisfied. Proud of obviously mine and Graham's team and the level of commitment and effort for the cause that each and every one of them showed today. And really satisfied just because we've on a continuous basis, we put a lot of work into each and every game. And especially today, we wanted to have, those fans that have come to Mariners Park today go away and really buzzing about what's happening on the pitch. And I think it's safe to say they're probably going to do that.
That first half was a magnificent performance, wasn't it? The first 45
yeah,
minutes, did
it? No, it was. It was absolutely different class, the first 45 minutes. And, I think that we almost paid for it in that spell of about 20 minutes towards the back end of the game, where our legs had obviously started to go a little bit. We were starting to make some poorer decisions, both on and off the ball. But that wasn't any surprise really, because we've just put such a monumental effort into the first hour at least of the game. The first 45 minutes, I don't think they could have complained if they'd gone in 3-0 down or possibly even 4-0 down.
You see a lot about the character of this team when you conceded those two goals, it still come back.
Yeah, of course.
In the end.
Who said it? Again, after the game, that we're never beaten, and we keep finding a way to get the right side of the line, and that's a great, great quality to have, and hopefully that we'll continue to have that quality moving forwards.
I'm sure you say it was a great team effort. One player sort of epitomised that was your captain today. How impressed were you with his
performance? Yeah, you almost can't do him justice sometimes, because he always come up with different superlatives for his performances, but I would honestly say that's one of the best games I think Julio's ever had in a Shields shirt. I thought he was literally different class, and not just his awareness and his technical ability and dealing with the ball under pressure, but his, you know, his awareness off the ball, you know, defensively, the determination, and he just personifies what I think, you know, in terms of values and character, what we're constantly striving for with the team.
Another player might be worth mentioning is it was Barry Smith, obviously he's been there from the very start, hasn't he?
Barry again. Barry, I would say, if over the course of the last 4 or 5 games, I would argue Barry's been our best player. And, you know, I think Barry will probably be the first person to admit that he's playing as well now as he ever has done in his whole career. And I think, again, that's testament to him as a person as well as a player, because he just wants to take information on board. You can tell he's always listening. He's the ultimate team player. And, you know, he just, again, epitomises what we're all about.
The word on the occasion of the day as well, he can't be involved in many more electric occasions than that.
Yeah, it was. I said, and I'm not just saying it before the game, before the game even started, I dreamt of a last-minute winner today, and it was something else. When that last goal went in, and to look across the far side of the ground, and the place just, you know, the roof came off, and I'm just delighted that, again, today for me was an opportunity not just to showcase ourselves as a team, but to showcase ourselves as a football club. And I thought we did it really, really well today. I'm sure the guys, everybody who's worked so hard behind the scenes, has had their reward today, and fingers crossed we can kind of get a few more people. I know we already enjoy great crowds, but get a few more people who want to come back week after week and really, really enjoy the experience that we put on here at Mariners.
You had some incredible moments last season, but how high does this one rank in terms of your time at the club?
That's a tough one. Because we did have so many highs last season. But I think, you know, York are a big club. I think it's arguably the biggest win that we've had in terms of, you know, the opposition that we've played against. So in that respect, it's right up there. And we can dream. We can keep dreaming about, you know, York are a big club, but we may get, you never know, we may get an even bigger one somewhere down the line.
So a big thank you to Mariners TV there. That was manager Lee Picton. And we should say, you mentioned the fact, James, about the predictions going into this. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we've had the chairman on, we've had Lee Picton on, and everyone on this show and listeners of this show knows about South Shields and the ambition at the club. But Swampy was on the non-league show, and he made the prediction that South Shields wouldn't just win, but they'd win comfortably.
With passion, yeah.
And Dave and Tim there, who were Southern-based, were like, really? It's no surprise to us, though, is it? But is it that result there has woken up a lot of people now in non-league circles, both North and South now, to what South Shields are capable of in the next few years. So we will speak to South Shields, obviously, before the Hartlepool match. That's a very big game, not just in the North East, but in non-league general. It's going to be... the problem is now the BBC have basically said they're going to cover an X amount of games, and I bet they regret that now, because I'm sure they'd like to cover that one, but they have basically said they're going to spread it around as much as they can. But South Shields aren't alone in going through to the fourth qualifying round. We've had a plethora of sides get through, and it's been cracking stuff. On Saturday, Boston Town 2, Hyde United 3, Matthew Beadle getting an 89th minute penalty winner for Hyde United to see them through to the fourth qualifying round. And let's remember what Berkey said, if we get through, we're going to get through to the first round. Hyde United are having a cracking first part of the season, aren't they?
23 games on the trot now, they've won since early last year. Darren Kelly said last night during the 26-0 commentary, they've built themselves up ready to end the streak of relegation that they had. When Berkey said they've got a first round proper in their eyes now, I don't think you realised what the draw was at
yeah,
that time.
That's true. Let's talk about that then. They're going to be taking on in the fourth qualifying round, and obviously we will get Steve and Darren on for the fourth qualifying round to preview it, but they will be travelling to the Flamingoland Stadium to take on Scarborough Athletic in the fourth qualifying round. That's because Scarborough pulled out an epic result this. 2-2 on Saturday between Scarborough Athletic and Stratford Town of the Southern League in front of over 1,100 supporters there on the east coast of Yorkshire. And then on Tuesday night, they took it to a replay, having to go down to the Southern League Premier Division side to Stratford Town. An uphill task for the team lower in the pyramid, but Scarborough walloped them in extra time. It finished 1-1 in the full 90. Scarborough Athletic getting the equaliser through Craig Nelthorpe on 74 minutes. And then in extra time, Scarborough Athletic just blew them away. 4-1, the final score. Congratulations to Scarborough.
The interesting fact as well is after the referee went down, I think just before the end of the first half of extra time,
He got cramp. The referee indeed, got cramp. There's some. No, we hope he makes a full recovery. Joking aside.
Yeah, yeah, and there's also everyone was saying Scarborough would walk through that game, but again, you can't predict anything in the FA Cup. And going to the fourth qualifying round now, them and Hyde, who are obviously absolutely battling it out for the title, not just the title for promotion in Division One North at the moment. They've now both got a shot at the first round proper, and we are going to have a team in there.
Absolutely. Now, also through with superb results, we should say, congratulations to Nantwich Town. 3-1 winners over Nuneaton Town, and they were 3-0 up with 15 minutes to go in that game. So comfortable and well worth the victory, Nantwich Town, against a team higher up the pyramid in Nuneaton Town. Superb stuff from Nantwich.
Yeah, and that's one that everyone was saying that it should be Nuneaton. Nantwich could get something there, but Nuneaton have got too much power over. Nantwich have been here in the past as well with the FA Trophy and absolutely. The FA Cup. It was not last season, the season before. First round and the last quarterfinals of the trophy. Again, so shot the first round, however, against a team that's pretty much knocking all our sides out at the moment. So we need some vengeance against them. They've got obviously Houghton Kettering. Great shout for him there, and again, a good shot at getting to the first round.
Absolutely, and we should say as well, we will speak to Dave Cook, manager at Nantwich Town, next week, because it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because we saw that with Stafford, that it wasn't translating into the league form, the FA Cup, but I'm an FC United fan. I've seen it firsthand what a good FA Cup run can do. So we'll see. It is very possible. 3-1 win there anyway between Nantwich Town and Nuneaton Town. Congratulations to Nantwich Town. Also, congratulations to Buxton. They beat Alvechurch by 2-1. But Alvechurch were 1-0 up in that game. But Buxton safely through to the next round. And they've got this one, I think, could be on telly. I'm going to suggest Buxton against Gateshead. It's an interesting one, that Silverlands, and a potential banana skin for the conference side.
Yeah, again, Buxton leave an absolute blitzkrieg right at the end of the game there as well. I think everyone on the show was backing Alvechurch just to sneak that one as well. But
not on this show. We're fair and balanced.
Well, not on this show, yeah. But yeah, fantastic opportunity there for Buxton as well. Gateshead have just they've just lost their manager this morning as well to Port Vale. So again, great opportunity there for Buxton just to cause the upset.
Now, I did say that Buxton against Gateshead might be on the BBC website in the fourth qualifying round, but then again, this next fixture might as well. In the third qualifying round, Stourbridge 3, Alfreton Town 1. We said on the show last week about, you know, we become a bit blasé about Stourbridge going through in various FA Cup rounds, but it's another upset. We have to be honest. Alfreton Town are National League North side, and Stourbridge blew them away 3-1. And that sets up a very intriguing match in the fourth qualifying round, which again could be on the BBC website. Stourbridge against Macclesfield Town. Wow.
That's a great tie for them, Stourbridge. But I think they're going to have to get mentally prepared for that next couple of weeks. Stourbridge know when to turn up the pressure, and they've shown it again this year. It's third year in a row now that they've, in this situation, pushing forward for the first round. But again, with Macclesfield, who are top of the conference at the moment, it's going to be a very, very tough ask.
It's nailed on. It's nailed. I'm thinking about it now. Apologies to Buxton for getting your hopes up, but that's going to be on the BBC website. That's the game right there, isn't it?
We never know, because again, it just depends on what the BBC say, because we've had South Shields, Billericay, and the Ashton Athletic Derby. as well as the Northwich derby on TV so far. But it's a great shout for it to be on TV.
Yeah.
Especially with Stalbridge being who they are in the FA Cup last year and the year before.
Now, also through, it was the old Evo Stick NPL affair between Shaw Lane and Lancaster City. Shaw Lane going through by 2-1, with Damien Reeves getting the 2 goals. So Shaw Lane go through. Commiserations to Lancaster City. Shaw Lane are through to the next round to take on Barrow, James. Wow, another one.
Yeah, again, Shaw Lane, they've proven what they can do this season. Top of the first division at the moment. A lot of people say unexpectedly. Again, maybe not. But it's just a case now against Shaw Lane. Damien Reeves knows what has played in the Conference in the last couple of seasons as well. So he knows what to expect.
And what has proved to be an excellent third qualifying round for the Northern Premier League. The eighth team, count them, dear listener, eighth team to get through. Ossett Town, superb stuff. Congratulations to Grant Black. 1874 Northwich 2, Ossett Town 2 on Saturday. How did this play out? Did Northwich take the lead on the 90th minute and then Ossett Town got a late equaliser, or was it way around?
It was the other way around. 1874 were 2 seconds away from winning it and got a late equaliser.
Brilliant stuff then from Ossett Town to get themselves back into that tie. And then on Tuesday evening, it finished 0-0. 0-0 again after extra time. And Ossett Town win 5-4 on penalties. Congratulations to everyone at the club. They're through to the fourth qualifying round.
Yeah, and again, it was from the show last week. I think this is the only time, I think, Burkett and Andrew Simpson will agree that both of them were actually correct for what they said as well. They're both saying that it could go either way. arguing about who would win
it. Yes, absolutely. But,
so for them now, to Solihull Moors, again, a name that we've not heard for quite some time, it's just now, can they get over that last hurdle? They deserve to be there.
And unfortunately, it's not been all success in the last round. Commiserations to Basford United, but they gave it a good go, didn't they? Basford United 2, Kettering Town 3. Kettering Town taking the lead 2-0 up after 20 minutes. Then Basford United claw it back and get it to 2-2 on the hour mark. But then Aaron O'Connor gets the winner for Kettering Town to take Kettering through to the fourth qualifying round. But well played, Basford United. And lastly, commiserations to Stafford Rangers. At stake was a home encounter with the mighty FC United of Manchester. Stafford Rangers 1, Telford United 1. Again, Stafford Rangers taking the lead after 9 minutes, and John Marsden for Telford United getting the equaliser in the last 10 minutes, taking it to a replay. And it was always going to be tough at that point. It's a real punch in the gut, isn't it, to concede an equaliser that late in the game. So it went to a replay, and on Tuesday night, well, Telford United, their position in the league structure told, 4-1 winners over Stafford Rangers on Tuesday evening. But commiserations to Stafford, good effort.
If they can convert this into league form now, they could be a team that could start causing some upsets. Stafford could turn into one of them teams this year quite easily, and even go on a bit of a run.
So just to confirm the fourth qualifying round draw, Buxton will host Gateshead, Nantwich Town will host Kettering Town, Scarborough Athletic will host Hyde United, guaranteeing a NPL side in the first round proper for this season's FA Cup. Shaw Lane will be hosting Barrow. Solihull Moors will be hosting our beloved Ossett Town. South Shields will be hosting Hartlepool United. And Stourbridge will be hosting Macclesfield Town. And we'll interview every single manager on next week's EvoStick NPL show. James, just before we go, big, big news. It's launched.
Da-da-da-da.
What am I talking about, James? Discuss.
It's the EvoStick Northern Premier League's hunt for the top 100 players of all time. Obviously, we've all started on just after the show launched on Friday night. And at the point of recording, we've now got 194 players registered. Out of them 194, you've got every winner of the Supporters Player of the Year to date. An ex-England manager, ex-Wales manager, I believe, from the recent history, but also from the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. It is a complete and utter free-for-all at this moment in time. It's probably the best way to explain for it.
Hang on.
Some players that I was...
James, just to say, you in your list of you know, players who've played for Wales and England and managed at various levels, you have missed off a very, very big legend, and that's Swampy's dad, who, of course, has played up in for Neverfield. There you go. Swampy's dad has even been nominated. So there we go.
I wonder who put that one in.
Well, let's put it this way. It wasn't me, because I'm impartial. But James, just to plug this a bit further, how can people nominate players and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so for fans nominations, if you go to the league website, there's a post called Poll for the Top Players of All Time. Click on that and the link's there for it. It'll be also on the most of the social media pages at the very top. And if any of the club officials are listening, the club can send their own list of five players. That includes all former clubs that are listening as well, because we even had contacts from FC United, Bangor, New Mills, Rill, loads of clubs that have not been with us for quite some time have been getting involved with this.
I don't envy the task that you've got ahead of you, but congratulations for launching it. It's superb stuff, and keep up the good work with that. And James Hayes, big thank you for coming on the show to walk us through the FA Cup results from the third qualifying round. Once again, a big congratulations to all the sides who've got through to the fourth qualifying round. Commiserations to the sides that didn't. But James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us, and you have a good non-league day.
Thank you very much, Ben.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's NPL show. Very shortly, we'll be catching up with Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio with a preview for all this weekend's fixtures in the EvoStick Northern Premier League Premier Division. We'll also be hearing from some of the management involved in this weekend's big matches. We'll be hearing from Grantham Town and from Altrincham. But before that, it is non-league day this weekend. And once again, the league is partnering up with Sports Trader, a charity which supplies sports kit and equipment to disadvantaged youngsters to get them more involved and more active in sport. And this weekend, bucket collections will be taking place across this great league of ours. And joining us now to discuss more about the charity, we're now joined from Sports Trader by Martin Keach. Hello, Martin. Thanks for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
So this weekend, it's non-league day. It's a big deal for a lot of non-league clubs. And for the third season, Sports Trader have launching a campaign with the Northern Premier League. Just before we get to that campaign, though, can you give us a bit of background about Sports Trader and what the aims are of the charity?
Yeah, sure. I mean, basically, Sports Trader is a youth-focused charity. It offers the kit and support to disabled and disadvantaged kids so that they're able to participate in playing sport, basically. We provide the necessary kit and support through various actions, obviously through great support like people from the NPL and the clubs up and down the country. That's fantastic. We also have retail shops where we donated sports equipment from top brands. They donate these free. We sell them at very competitive prices in our stores. All the money goes back into grassroots sport.
So last season, I think last March, a bucket collection was organised by the league, and over £2,000 was raised. At what level are we talking about? Age ranges for where these funds go and equipment? Where does it go?
All age groups. Basically, obviously, in particular, youth focus. But for instance, we were able, from that money we received from the NPL, very generously donated to us, we were able to put that towards buying some sports wheelchairs. Now, these sports wheelchairs have helped us to give to sporting clubs who don't have wheelchairs, so they can enable them to play tennis or table tennis or rugby and such events. So, you know, we donate those sports wheelchairs to clubs and individuals also that need our help.
And what's the reaction to these donations? Go into various sports clubs, and it's interesting what you say about it's not just football. Obviously, I mean, I've watched wheelchair rugby league in the past 6 months, and it's a cracking sport. But what's the reaction been for your efforts of getting this equipment to the grassroots?
Well, it's a fantastic reaction. It's just seeing the smile on people's faces that previously have not been able to participate in sport and now have the opportunity to put their, if you like, put their skills to the challenge. And it is very, very well received. We'd like to do more, obviously. I mean, these sports wheelchairs, if they're bought new, they're around about £4,500 each. Now, we were able to purchase some second-hand ones, but it still cost us a lot of money. So, obviously, the more donated money we get, the more wheelchairs we can purchase. But it's not just wheelchairs. We also support local clubs. We support individuals who have difficulty in obtaining sponsorship or travel fare or even kit. We supply clothing, secondhand clothing that's donated by the NPL League clubs as well. Plus, obviously, through the NPL, we do help the those clubs that have academy sections, and we help with the bursaries. So it does go back into the NPL in some way, shape or form.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we all know times are hard in a lot of communities, especially across the north of England and in inner city communities. And sports kits being donated and that kind of thing are invaluable. And, you know, there's a lot of talent out there at school age. And just giving simple things like trainers, for example, or football boots, it's invaluable, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, everything that we receive is checked, it is scrutinised, it is cleaned, and it is then put out into either into our stores to sell or given away to worthy causes. So we do give an awful lot of stock away, which also helps people. You know, not everybody's got £100 to buy a kit, but if we can put together some kit for people and offer them the opportunity to go out and play football on a Saturday or Sunday morning, then great. And that's all through the benefit and support we get from both yourselves and other organisations.
And as a charity, Lance Hagiff won Unsung Hero at the BBC Sports Personality Year back in 2010. What's the growth been like as an organisation, and what numbers are we talking about for how many people we're helping here?
Well, it's hard to say for a true number on it, because obviously Lance started this off in 2009, and it started from just one shop in Bedford. We now have five or six shops up and down the country. We also have individual coaching sessions that we do outside of normal hours. So people like Lance and a few of the coaches would put their time into holding coaching classes for basketball, for football, for general summer camps as well, all free of charge. I would say at the moment we're probably helping round about 5,000 or 6,000 kids a year that actually get some sort of benefit, either directly or indirectly, through our charity.
It's very, very impressive, and that leads us then on to this weekend and non-league day. What bits of fundraising will supporters notice when they go to their NPL game this weekend?
Well, as far as I understand it, we did actually supply all the clubs with some stickers, bucket stickers, and they'll be doing individual bucket collections on the day. Now, obviously, but they've got games on the day, so you've got away teams going there as well. So effectively, you've got half the teams playing at home. So that will be the emphasis on that. But what we're also saying is for those teams that are playing away, the following week, they can hold theirs at their ground. I do believe there are some clubs that are doing extra activities to raise funds as well. So it could be a fun run, it could be tug of war, it could be anything that's being held. We've encouraged them to try and do something special on the day, other than just bucket collections, because not everybody understands, you know, or able to just see a bucket and say, well, we'll put some money in there. They want to know what's happening to it as well. So hopefully people are explaining the charity whilst they're going round, and saying where the money's being spent, because obviously it's not just going into a black hole. It is actually used. Every penny that we raise goes to good causes.
And also, while I'm thinking, I'm an FC United fan, and we do Big Coat Day every year, and we collect all kinds of clothing. Are you on the lookout as well for people donating sports kits as well?
Yes, we are. What we call Kit Amnesty. We've had a very good success with the NPL teams as well, where they have collected us kits over the past. We've actually distributed some collection bags out to every club. I think there was 5 to each club that were sent out to them. So if they do have unwanted kit, an old kit that that could be used and bagged up, and we would arrange collection.
Well, for more information, you can visit the charity's website. That's at www.sportstrader.org.uk. That's trader spelt T-R-A-I-D-E-R. Well, Marty Keach, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Cracking charity. Keep up the excellent work and good luck this weekend and good luck with future endeavours as well, collecting kit and donations. It's much appreciated.
That's fantastic. And thank you very much for the opportunity to spread the word.
So that's non-league day coming this weekend, and joining me now to preview the actual fixtures themselves in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, we're now joined by the welcome return from Whitby Town Radio by the lovely Mr. Andrew Snaith. Hello, Andy. How's things, mate?
Hiya, Ben. I'm good, thanks, mate. Nice to be here, as always.
Now, we'll get to the fixtures in a second or two, but just to talk about, while we've got you on, we'll talk about Whitby Town. A big game this weekend for Whitby Town, travelling to Warrington. What's the general mood like at the moment at Whitby Town Radio Towers?
Well, before we went to Stalybridge, it was pretty good, actually, because we'd gone into that game on the back of 3 successive victories. And unfortunately, as we know, the Evostick League is not as easy to predict as some other divisions, and despite the fact that Stalybridge were in that bottom three, they had a deserved, by all accounts, 3-1 victory over Whitby and ended that winning run. But, generally speaking, fairly positive after a much publicised pretty average start to the season.
And you'd go in to take on Warrington at Cantilever Park, and Warrington on Tuesday night, they just beat Lancaster City by a mere 5-1. It seems a long time ago now. We're talking about Lancaster City only conceding 8 league goals this season. So Warrington have hit a bit of form.
Absolutely. Bit concerning, actually, having watched Whitby lose 4-1 at Lancaster recently and been really impressed by them. If Warrington could put 5 past them, that's a little concerning. Whitby obviously hoping they can copy what they did at Warrington last season when they had that early season victory at Cantilever Park. But absolutely, second place in the league. They'll be really going for it, Warrington. It'll be a very, very tough ask for Whitby.
And it is a weird one, because obviously you say about Stalybridge's start, and Stalybridge are now up to 21st in the league. They're on the same number of points as Marine and Nantwich Town, and then you think about Whitby Town's start, and they're on the same number of points now as Lancaster City. Admittedly, though, Whitby have played a fair few games more than Lancaster City, and the same could be said for Warrington Town. Warrington Town last week we were talking about, oh, is it slipping? They're now up to second. But they are 3 points behind league leaders Shaw Lane. Shaw Lane obviously through to the 4th qualifying round of the FA Cup. They followed that up midweek with a nice 3-1 away win at Micklover Sports. And this weekend they're travelling to Barwell. Now Barwell at the moment, Barwell are in 9th, and Andrew Simpson described them as Barwell plus this season. What's your take on Shaw Lane travelling to Barwell this weekend?
That's interesting, actually. I know exactly what Sibbo means there. Having seen Barwell on the opening day, where they won 1-0 against Whitby, I know what he means. They're still physical. They're still big, strong, solid, well set up. But they also have a little bit of quality there as well going forward. Having seen them very recently last weekend, I thought they put in a decent display at Whitby, but Whitby weren't as good as I've seen them. And there could have been a lot more goals. 1-0 was a bit misleading, a scoreline. Both sides had chances. Could have been 4-2, 4-3, I think. I think Barwell are a good side. Shaw Lane will not find it easy taking on Barwell. I don't think anybody gets an easy game against Barwell. And Shaw Lane are a strange one, because I have seen them once, and they were very professional in what they did. They won 3-0. They were helped by the fact that Whitby played 88 minutes with 10 men. I think 11 versus 11 would have been close. They weren't spectacular in any way. They were just professional in what they did. That was my summary of having seen Shaw Lane. and Altrincham, having seen them as well, just as to pick out another one of the sides in the top three pushing on, right on Warrington's coattails. They won 1-0 against Whitby. I thought that they could have had five, they could have had six. You were there yourself,
I was,
Ben.
Yes.
And
no, I don't necessarily agree. I mean, at the time, the pressure was on, wasn't it, with Phil Parkinson and Neil Savelli? It was a very cagey performance, and when they got the goal, then you could feel the pressure just release around you. But I said this to you at half time. I thought Whitby were in that game up to a point. We'll get to all.
You were very kind. It went downhill from there.
Yeah, I can only blame myself. But anyway, we'll get to Altie in a second, because we're going to speak to Altrincham on this week's show. Stourbridge, they're in third position, and Barwell's last game was against Hales Owen, and Hales Owen got a very good 1-1 draw away from home. And this weekend, it's the derby to end all derbies. It is Stourbridge against Hales Owen Town. Big game, this one. Potential banana skin for Stourbridge. Stourbridge, a good result on Monday, following up that FA Cup victory by beating Colville Town. Easier said than done this season. Can you see past Stourbridge in this fixture against Hales Owen?
It's very difficult to, Ben, with Hales Owen languishing at the bottom of the table. But yeah, funny things, derbies. I'm a little jealous, I have to say, to have a derby and be to have it at the weekend as well. I'm sure it'd be a huge crowd as always. The number 9 derby. You would definitely make Stourbridge outstanding favourites. But yeah, Hales Owen, well, if they're not up for that one, they'll never be up for a game.
Well, let's talk about Altrincham now. And on Tuesday night, Altrincham beat Nantwich Town by 5-1. And after the match, friend of the show, Johnny Crowther, caught up with assistant manager at Altie. Here's Neil Savelle.
You must be absolutely delighted with that result.
Yeah, delighted. Another 3 points on the board. Maintain the momentum. Would have been probably the downside to it was just conceding there later on, because that would have been 5 clean sheets, which is would have been real good going for one of our teams, I think.
Somebody attacking play and defensively as well. I thought Ben Bolita, certainly first half, very impressive. Ben, we know what Ben is all about, and alongside Hennigan, Rooks really, really strong, and Lewis. I know defensively you always work on it.
Yeah.
All those clean sheets you talk about, you must have been certainly the first half performance really happy.
Really pleased. I mean, I think we envisaged what Nantwich were going to do in terms of you knew they'd come and sit deep and then look to work us on the counter, and obviously bringing Joe in, we had a bit more pace, but we counteracted that with Joel. You know, Joel boxed him off really well first half. So we knew. I think it was a bit of a strange one, because we were coming in at half time and it was, you know, first half hour was nil. Not sure when the first goal went
in. 36.
Yeah. So I was thinking the team talk was going to be don't get frustrated at half time, but then 3 quick fire goals changed the game, didn't they? And changed our team talk at least at half time. Delighted that we kept plugging away, we were creating opportunities, and we managed to make the breakthrough, and then I think the game was over by half time.
And the morale in the dressing room must be sky high at the moment, as you say, the run of games you've had, not conceding, you know, a couple of 6-0 wins, but I know you well enough to know that the 1-0 wins just mean just as much to you.
Yeah, because you know you can't always win by them margins, can you? We've seen that on Saturday. You know, for as much as the players we had, you know, it was one of them days where we couldn't quite break them down. But yeah, in terms of the team spirit, you know, it's fantastic. Tony's in there fuming because he's conceded, but they're a great bunch and a real hard working bunch. So yeah,
just about that goal, because you know, you look at things, you want to get it always right. A little bit of lack of focus on that goal. Malarkey's done really well, good header.
Yeah, but he's made a positive run across the front, but we constantly add into our defenders. Don't let the player you're marking get in front of you, because 9 times out of 10 it's a goal if they get a good connection. So yeah, from that point of view, that was really the only downside tonight. And you know how Nantwich play, they're going to have bits of possession, but they never really hurt us. After the first 5 minutes, I didn't think. I thought we were in control for most of the game. Just a question of when we could make a breakthrough. Like I say, I thought the team talk would be different, but then 3 quick fire goals, you know, we made the breakthrough, and then the 2 before half time, I think that was changed the complexity of the game, doesn't it? It's game over then at that point.
just a word for former club Nantwich Town. You know, they went down obviously 3-0 at half time, but the heads didn't go down. They kept at it, and you'd expect that.
Yeah, you would do. You would do. Some good lads in there in that dressing room. Some good players. So yeah, you'd expect them to keep going. You know, if we were still there, you know, when we were there with them, they keep going. And that's what you demand off your players. I'm sure Dave and Griggs are the same. Yes. Yeah, so you would expect that, yeah.
You look ahead to your next fixture, and again, you're hoping for the same?
Yeah, hopefully another 3 points. Rushall have lost heavily, haven't they, tonight?
So yeah.
Tricky one.
Was that Grantham last tonight?
Yeah,
I think Grantham, it was only seven, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure they'll be really keen to bounce back and fired up to bounce back, but, you know, if we can maintain the form that we're showing currently, we've got a good chance of getting the 3 points.
But what you do know about this league is, because you've been involved in it, complacency, you won't have that, because you know how easy it is. Teams will take points off each other if you're not at it and not fully focused.
You can look at it so far, and obviously the league's starting to take shape a bit now, but on any given day, if you don't turn up, you can get turned over, and we've seen that ourselves already this season on a couple of occasions that, you know, we've lost games. We need to be at it, and we're trying to demand that mentality off the players.
Thanks for your time, Sorves, and well done tonight.
So then, Altrincham are currently in fourth position in the league. They really have had a good run of form of late. A 5-1 victory over Nantwich Town, forgetting the FA Cup and that side of things. This weekend, Alti will be hosting Rushall Olympic. Rushall Olympic, in their last game on Tuesday night, they got beat 7-1 by Grantham Town. What do you think? Rushall at the moment, it's not healthy, is it, at the moment?
No, it's interesting. And a little ironic, I suppose, with the regionalisation coming up next season. There's three West Midlands teams in that bottom three, Sutton Coldfield, as well as Rushall and Hill Zone. Yeah, absolutely not going well for Rushall. I think this game, though, you kind of find out the character of a team when they have a big setback. You talk about the bounce back and whether that's possible. To speak from experience, you know, Whitby lost 3-2 at Penistone Church, two levels below, Northern Counties East Premier, and at the last minute, and it was a big, big blow. Everybody was very down. Then they came back and went on a winning run. They beat Ashton, and it was a decent run. So you find out about a team's character in those games. Altrincham's interesting. It's just very quickly got back. I honestly do think we'd be got away with it that night that we were discussing earlier on. But then they ended up hammering Farsley. I think they put six past Farsley. And I sort of thought, well, if we'd have played them tonight, that could have been us. But it's interesting, you know, psychology plays such a part. As you said, they're under so much pressure. And you know, they were maybe a little bit aided by some poor officiating, but I also felt we could have had a penalty right at the end in that game. 1-1 would have been an absolute theft. But you know, it's interesting how psychology plays a part in football. Well, Altrincham were desperate to end that terrible run of the season, but now playing with a bit more freedom, albeit they don't feel like they're quite in the fifth gear. They're scoring some goals and showing the quality they have up front.
And look at that top four. I mean, if ambition could speak and put itself in a league table. First, Charlene, Warrington Town in second, Stourbridge in third, Altrincham in fourth, all separated by 4 points at the moment. But there is a very willing chasing pack behind them, being led by Farsley Celtic, who are in fifth position, the same number of points as Altrincham. They have played a game more, though, than Stourbridge and Altrincham and Warrington Town. Farsley Celtic will be hosting the aforementioned Nantwich Town. And just a reminder, Nantwich Town getting beat 5-1 midweek, following up a good FA Cup display, though, we have to say. We'll speak to Dave Cook at Nantwich Town on next week's show. Farsley Celtic didn't have a game midweek. This weekend, Farsley Celtic will be hosting Nantwich Town. What do you think for this one? It's an interesting one, this one for Farsley, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'll certainly be looking forward to that interview with Dave Cook next week, because I think he's done a superb job. I think a lot of people would have been worried for Nantwich. Number of players going to Altrincham, big turnover as you'd expect when a manager leaves, but they've done really well. They've consolidated. You mentioned the FA Cup run. Farsley, I don't think many people will be surprised to see them in that top five. James Walshaw, you know, a bit of a one-man army there. He scores the goals, and when you've got somebody like that in front of goal, you've always got a chance. Should be a really good game, but when you've got that kind of firepower, you don't necessarily have to be at your best to get a result.
I mean, to be fair though, they are conceding a lot of goals at the moment, aren't they? They've conceded 24 goals in 14 matches. Admittedly though, they have scored 26. Fars the Celtic at the minute though, they're on a two-game streak, having already beaten Colville last weekend. So an interesting game, that one. Nantwich Town looking to improve the league form, certainly. Now, next up, we've got Colville Town. Now, obviously, Colville, we had Tommy Brookbanks on the show. They have hit a little bump in the road, but this weekend, Colville will be travelling to Workington. Now, Workington, they're on the march, aren't they?
Yeah, it's still typical Evo Stick League at the moment. Six, which is Colville, and Henson in 14th, 3 points separating them. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? That's typical Evo Stick League. There's not much to choose between a lot of the sides. Workington have started to string some results together. We know the quality and the pedigree they have. They often do this, where they don't necessarily impress until later on in the season, and they get that obligatory playoff place. So you can never rule them out. But yeah, what a story at Colville. Tommy Brookbanks doing an absolutely amazing job there. They've been the revelation so far, I would say, to be in sixth spot and doing so well. You know, full credit for them.
And as we said, there has been a bump in the road of late, the 2-1 defeat. But they are sides in the playoffs that they've been beaten by, Stourbridge and Fazer Celtic in the last two outings. Grantham Town, yeah, though, I think have proved that you can bounce back in the Northern Premier League. Grantham Town, they've been scoring, haven't they? They obviously, we mentioned already, the 7-1 victory over Rushall. They drew 1-1 with Marine, but then they did beat Sutton Coldfield Town by 6-1 as well. So Grantham Town this weekend, they'll be hosting Stafford Rangers. Well, let's discuss more now about Grantham Town. And joining us on the other end of the phone, it's a welcome return to the manager at Grantham Town. Please welcome Adam Stevens. And Adam, you must be, firstly, a big congratulations for that 7-1 win midweek against Rushall. Superb stuff.
Yeah, it was very pleasing. The football that we played, the intensity of a play was excellent start to finish. I think definitely a big pat on the back for the lads the other night, all through the team. The way that we played was infectious. And all in all, excellent night's work for us.
And that scoreline there has taken you up now to being the highest goal scorers in the league, breaking the 30-goal barrier now. That's something to celebrate as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it is, definitely so. I always think that every side that I've had in the past, you know, and going forward, we've always scored goals, and now we try and play fast attacking football with an high energy, high tempo. And we've certainly got to just rewards in doing that. You know, I always think that, you know, people pay good money to come through and they like to be entertained, and we're certainly doing that at the minute.
Absolutely. I mean, the 1-0 draw and then the 6-1 before that as well ain't bad at all. But when it comes to Grantham Town, this last three games or so, there has been it's been a bounce back, really, and it's been a hell of a bounce back. You must be dead pleased with the squad and the way they've reacted to that kind of thing as well.
Well, the thing is with us, you know, we know that as in return of resources, we're probably at the bottom end of the table as regarding that. You know, we've lost numerous players in the summer to an higher level, which is good from my point of view as a manager, that I'm getting players in, I'm improving them, and fair play to them, they've gone on to an higher level. So we've had to rebuild again in the summer. Again, probably we're a little bit like a dog's home, where we take them in and hopefully we make them better. And what we're doing is seeing the lads certainly improve. And I think generally our performances throughout the season, you know, even in the games that we've lost, have been decent. You know, we're going to make mistakes at times. We're still learning. But all in all, I'm pleased with them, and I think we can get better and better as a unit.
And what you mentioned the rebuilding that you needed to do over the summer. We heard about the season ticket sales at the club following a fantastic season last season at the club. There is some unfinished business though, I feel, because last season Grantham Town were up there all the way to the end, and then there was the Dudeson final. It feels like that there's a bit between your teeth this season coming into it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit disappointing end of last season. I mean, it was probably farcical, in fact, the amount of games that we've played with a cup final, you know, in a week of the season. I think we played about 4 games in 7 days, something ridiculous like that. But, yeah, I look at that and it's a scope for us to improve. And my goal is for us to be competitive. And I think Grantham now are a competitive team within the league. You know, there's some big old clubs in there, which, again, determined to get straight back up, but what we're about is, you know, be certainly competing with these and giving us a best shot, you know.
And what was your expectations going into this season then, Adam, after last year? Because, you know, every manager wants to see an improvement in the team. But like you say, this season, it feels like, with all the managers we've been speaking to, it feels like a very different league this year, in the fact that not many teams can get a run going.
Yeah, I think it's a league where you know, I think lots of people have speculated In the summer about who's doing what, who's doing this, but as it's shown this season, everybody can beat everybody on the day, and that's where I'm pleased with our lads, in the fact that we are competitive. You know, I'll use that word again, because we're young, and I think, you know, we can get better and better and better, and push yourselves, and if that means pushing towards the players, then so be it. But we know what we're up against. We know what clubs we're up against. And for me as a manager, it's I want us to be at that, in them top reaches. You know, it's going to be tough. We know that, but we're willing. We're ready. And I just want to have a good go, you know.
And this weekend you've got Stafford Rangers, and then on Tuesday it's Colville, one of the surprise packages this season. What's your take on these games coming up now, and where that's going to... Because Grantham are coming into this in some good form.
Yeah, we are, you know, but like I said earlier, I think we've been playing well anyway, you know, even in the games that we lost. We're excellent at Eltingham the other week. Should have definitely got a minimum point from the game, and arguably bar some decisions on the day which cost us the 3 points. But, you know, I look at Stafford again, a massive club, Colville again, the old club, who are doing very well this season. You know, they've pushed the boat out in the summer, brought some experienced players in, and doing extremely well. So every game that we play is going to be tough, whether it be Colville, whether it be Altrincham, whether it be Whitby, whether it be Rushall, whoever it is, you know, every manager will be saying the same. If you don't turn up, if you don't do the business, then you get beaten. And we're no different to that, because that's what the Northern Premier's about. It's an high intensity. It's a good level of football. And we're enjoying it.
Well, Adam Stevens, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show, manager at Grantham Town. And a big congratulations to the start of the season thus far.
Yeah, thanks very much.
And a big thank you to Adam Stevens from Grantham Town for joining us on this week's show. Grantham Town this weekend will be hosting Stafford Rangers. Stafford Rangers, of course, looking to bounce back following their cup exit midweek. Joining us now to discuss the chances of Stafford Rangers bouncing back, please welcome back to the show, manager at Stafford Rangers, it's Neil Kitching. A big thank you for joining us. Firstly, commiserations for the result midweek, but you must have been very proud with your performance on Saturday against a team in the National League North.
Yeah, we did well, Ben. Good, you know, good performance and pleasing result against Telford. You know, we were only 7 minutes away from winning the tie. Went to replay, and we did okay in the replay on Tuesday. You know, for 60 minutes we stayed with Telford, and it was only the last half hour where obviously their better players and their fitness kicked in, and eventually obviously we went out. But well pleased with the run we've had to go through 3 qualifying rounds and make a few pennies for the club, and and obviously play against Conference North opposition has been good for the club.
Absolutely, and we saw with the attendances as well. Obviously, Telford will have brought a few, but we've said this before when we've had you on. Stafford, it's a big club and it is a sleeping giant, and those attendances there, I think, have proved it.
Oh yeah, I mean the gates are just short of 1,200, and you know in the big games we our fans do turn out in all the games, but obviously the big games with the balls you get was 1,000 plus, so that was pleasing. And then again the fixture at their place, the replay, the turf fans was unbelievable. I mean the gate was, I think it was down at 870, but there was easily 300 fans there packed in on the goal. And it surprised us, to be fair, we didn't have been a minute trouble, and the noise then from start to finish was amazing. It came for us, it really did.
But one thing that we've been discussing during this cup run, because obviously you've got loads of games in hand now, and we've been discussing the possibility perhaps of the cup run kicking in with the league form, is this weekend you've got that tough game against Grantham Town, and we've already heard from Adam at Grantham. What are you expecting this weekend, and are you hoping now it can kick in with the league form?
It needs to, yeah, because obviously a good run, and we're something like four games behind there in the league, and then we just got down into that bottom six, seven, but four games in hand on most teams around us. We just need to make sure that four we've had in the cup goes into the league. We need to pick up some points, quickly, to try and get us back up in and around that, you know, that top 10, top 12, with the games in hand still, so that hopefully we can really push on. But it's important that we do that. But again, the games are coming thick and fast, and they're hard as well. You know, we face a Grantham team on Saturday who are flying and scoring a lot of goals, so that's going to be tough.
And then you've got the Mickleover game as well, and Mickleover just above you in the league table. And we've been saying it a lot on this season show. You don't know what you're going to get with Mickleover. They're a proper mixed bag, aren't they?
Yeah, good size. Well, they're all good size in divisions. Nobody that you get and you think, well, you know, we're going to get 3 points today, or this is going to be an easier task. I look at the fixtures and think, you know, they're all tough, and especially away from home, they're tough. You know, that's going to be a real tough game on Saturday. One we're looking forward to, going to Grantham. You know, we want to go there and get points. You know, and we look forward to the home fixtures because we'll get a big turnout and they'll help us. But Mickleover, as you say, a mixed bag, very, very good footballing side, one of the better footballing sides we've played against. But their results are up and down, and you just don't know what you're going to get. And this is all about how you prepare on the day, how you turn up, how mentally prepared your team is. And more often than not, the team that's better organised and better prepared on the night wins the game. There's no form in our league at all, really, apart from Shoreline and perhaps Stourbridge.
Well, Neil Kitchen, a big thank you for joining us, Stafford Rangers manager. Commiserations again, but a sterling effort on Saturday and following that up on Tuesday. And all the best of luck this weekend in the league.
No problem. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
And we said it earlier, commiserations to Neil Kitchen's side, taking Telford to a replay. It's always tough for the lower ranked side to do well in the replay, given the circumstances of the Saturday match. But Stafford Rangers, now they're out of the cup, they need to improve the league form, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They're down the table, but they've got games in hand because of that FA Cup run. Should be a really good game down there in the Midlands. Grantham have goals, you know, Luke Shaw, Lee Shaw. There's a lot of quality going forward there. They've obviously got character there as well. People bounce back. That's what happens. Accidental partridge. But they do, and it's not a surprise to see Grantham back at the business end again this season. Should be a really, really good game in the offing there.
And Grantham Town, you mentioned early, Andy, about goal scoring. 31 goals so far scored in 14 matches for Grantham Town. Top goal scorers currently in the league. Workington there in 8th. Barwell there in 9th. Witton Albion are in 10th position at the moment. Witton Albion will be travelling to Hensford Town. Hensford Town, they won 2-0 against Matlock on Tuesday night, whereas Witton Albion got beat away at Buxton. We mentioned the bump in the road that Colville have hit and that Grantham hit a few games back. Witton Albion, it feels like they've hit a bit of a bump.
Yeah, and I've seen some stuff on social media which surprised me. You know, I think, you know, you've been in the Evo Stick League long enough, or even the Unibon. It's always like that. Teams beat each other, and you never really have a clear picture until into the new year, I don't think. And Witten, you know, recently promoted as well. I mean, you know, it's a good start, and they're still right up there. And nothing to get too concerned about. It's the typical Evo Stick League. Everybody beats everybody. If you're not on your game on a particular day, you'll get beat.
Now, Lancaster City, they're in 11th at the moment. They've only played 12 games, though. They've got two games in hand over Farsley Celtic, who are in the fifth position, and the gap is 6 points. So might be a bit of a false position where Lancaster City are at the moment. They're travelling to Sutton Coldfield this weekend. Sutton Coldfield, at the moment, we touched upon it on last week's monthly discussion show. Sutton Coldfield, we talk about goal scoring and conceding goals. They've conceded 40 goals so far in 40 matches. Richard Sneakers has got to get a grip of that, hasn't he?
Absolutely right, yeah. Saw them recently as well, Sutton Coldfield. They've got some quality going forward. They've got Marcus Tudgay up there, the former Sheffield Wednesday striker. But they do look fallible at the back at times. And yeah, certainly they're going to have to arrest that the leaking of the goals there. They're second bottom at the moment. Big ask for Richard Sneakers. But he showed last season. He has got the means to inspire his side, and there's character there. So still a long way to go. But yeah, it could be a long season for them as well.
Ashton United, they're in 12th position. They're travelling to Mickleover Sports. Now, Mickleover Sports are... out of all the teams in the division at the moment, Mickleover Sports are currently in 17th position, and they don't get a run together, do they? But they pick up wins, and you know, when you know they've beaten Grantham, they've beaten Buxton, they're beating Hensford 5-0, they beat Witten Albion 2-0, you know, but then they get beat by Barwell, and they get beat by Matlock Town. It's, you can't make head and tail of Mickleover.
No, and you genuinely surprised me there when you said 17th, because I thought they'd been doing okay. They had a little run of late, I think, just a couple of wins. But do you remember Colville did that last season? They would just throw out an unexpected win somewhere that you just didn't see coming at all. I think it just shows that on no day, they do have the quality, but it's consistency, getting that right. And you know, how many teams, I suppose, could you come up with that explanation for them? They just keep beating each other, but yeah, Mickleover Sports. If you come up on them on the wrong day, you could be on the wrong end of a defeat, and they're showing that. But they're difficult sides to predict, that's for sure.
And at the moment, Ashton United are on two straight defeats. At the moment, having lost to Hensford Town in the previous outing, and Workington in the outing before that. But we did touch upon it on last week's show. It is a rebuilding job that Jody Bellingham's still doing there at Ashton United, following what happened last year and the change in management and squad and that kind of thing. But it's going to be an interesting afternoon, that, for Ashton United away at Mickleover Sports. 13th position, we've got Whitby Town in a mid-table pack now. Dare I say it, are you the new Gang of Four with Ashton United and Hensford and Buxton and the like? But Whitby Town are there. Whitby Town travelling to Warrington, as we alluded to earlier. Hensford Town, they're in 14th position at the moment on 20 points, the same as Whitby Town, Ashton United and Lancaster City. Hensford will be hosting Witten Albion this weekend. We touched upon Witten earlier. Just your general view on Hensford, that it looks like they might be stringing the wins together now.
Yeah, it feels like they've turned the corner a little bit. Just need a little bit of patience. You know, they've had all those changes of late. Just give it some time. Probably contrasting views from supporters. You know, Hensford might just be happy to have a bit of consolidation for the next few weeks, whereas Witten, you know, a little impatient, a little disappointed by the run of the last few weeks. It'd be interesting to see, maybe two teams going in opposite directions, but yeah, it'd be very good to see. But it does look like the pitman is starting to turn things around.
And is that true of Buxton as well? We've already touched upon the victory over Witton Albion for Buxton. Buxton this weekend will be hosting Marine. Marine's an interesting one, isn't it? Because Marine at the moment, they've got the, if you go back 10 games, they've got the worst form in the league at the moment. They're on the same number of points as Nantwich and Stalybridge Celtic. What do you think?
I don't know what it is with Marina. I have to admit, I wasn't impressed with them. I saw them the other week. They did look very fallible at the back. Didn't seem to have a huge amount of cutting edge up front. So I wasn't impressed by them. I'm not surprised to see them languishing if that's how they've been playing every week. Whether they're missing players, I'm not sure of that. But they certainly do need to improve things. They're not in the best form at the moment and not looking particularly strong. Buxton, of course, Liam Hardy, the Liam Hardy factor up front. His manager's been outspoken in his praise of his striker.
And lastly, but not leastly, we've got this fixture, Stalybridge Celtic against Matlock Town. And the question has to be asked now, with Stalybridge unbeaten now in three games, have they turned the corner now, Stalybridge? Have they got used to the level?
It looks that way. Yeah, it looks that way. They've got some good attacking players. They like to Kofi up top, leading the line. And you've got a settled defence now as well. Big, strong, good, solid base there to build on. And, you know, the cornerstone of any side trying to arrest a losing run is a strong defence. And I think they have started to turn things around. I wouldn't be surprised if they started to march up the league now. Matlock, maybe lacking a little bit of confidence, I think. We always say about how good they are, but it doesn't always materialise for them. And, maybe just missing a little bit of belief. They had some changes with the goalkeeper of late as well, so maybe they're still bedding things in there. I know they had a goalkeeping error of late a few weeks back against Whitby, so they're maybe just still trying to iron that out and get that sorted. But Stalybridge, great form for them, and I do think they'll be pulling away pretty shortly.
Well, if you look at Matlock Town's form, it's like looking at a traffic light. It's red, green, yellow, red, green, yellow. They are looking for form, essentially, aren't they? And I think there's a few teams in that boat. I mean, we spoke to Martin McIntosh a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying it's going to be like this now, I think, this season, just because of the number of quality sides. And, well, speaking of quality sides, a big thank you to Whitby Town Radio's very own Andrew Snaith for joining us this week. Andy, just a quick plug for Whitby Town Radio. You had your biggest audience, didn't you, this past week?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we finally broke the half century, which I know isn't a huge figure, but we were quite happy with that. Yeah, that was Paul and Peter over at the game at Stalybridge on Tuesday night. We'll be back with you in Cheshire. It's Warrington Town against Whitby Town from 3 o'clock there. It'll be myself and Paul Connolly live via whitby-town.com.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. And a big thank you as well to the wonderful media team at South Shields for allowing us access to that interview with Lee Picton earlier. And the wonderful Johnny Crowther for that interview with Neil Savelle at Altrincham. Remember, you can keep abreast of all the latest news and developments in the world of Northern Premier League football by visiting the Evo Stick League website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow the league on Twitter as well as this show. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL Show. A big thank you for tuning in. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to celebrate non-league day, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.